In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So something pet owners do every day, they may not think too much about it. Open a can of food, scoop from a bag to feed your dog or your cat. We assume and trust the food is healthy and designed for an animal. After all, it's got a picture of a dog on the container. The reason we can assume that it's designed for an animal is in large part to a veterinary doctor you may never have heard of named Mark Morris. Beginning in 1948, he spent decades studying and promoting animal nutrition. Before Dr. Morris's work, pet food was garbage. While it may have filled the animal, it was not very nutritious. Sometimes the cruelest animal health problems were simply a matter of nutrition. Now, if you love your pet and you trust your pet food, you have Dr. Mark Morris to thank. But what's interesting about his life is he didn't originally want to do that kind of work. He was a mechanical engineer. But his father had made some key discoveries about animal illnesses and their link to animal nutrition. But nobody wanted to listen because putting his father's discoveries into action would have cost money. When Dr. Morris's father suddenly died, his discoveries would have died with him. So Dr. Mark Morris dropped what he was doing, and he loved being a mechanical engineer, but he knew that there was nobody else to continue his father's work. No one at the time was interested, so he left what he loved to do what needed to be done. He picked up his father's work and saw it through for the next 5 decades. And his father's passion for animal health lived in Dr. Mark Morris. Now, I tell this story not as a history lesson for pet care, but as an example of how one person's dream, one person's work can live in another person. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, which we heard from this morning, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God." Paul says that by living in faith, by crucifying his own will, he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He is living a life of faith in the Son of God, no longer in himself. Now that sounds wonderful, to have Christ living in me, to be a living vessel of the Son of God, to be living a life of love, to be living a life of peace and joy and light, to be living a life of hope and reconciliation and gentleness and kindness. Who wouldn't want that kind of life? What believer would say, I don't want Christ living in me. I don't want the joy and love and peace and the light and the hope and the reconciliation that is enjoyed in the person of Jesus Christ. What believer would say that? Yet how many believers can honestly say it's already happening in themselves? How many can honestly and completely say it is no longer I who live, but Christ living in me? So then why is there a gap between what we say we want and what we actually live? 2 reasons. Probably a lot more than 2, but we're going to go over 2 today. First reason is, do we really want it? Do we really want it? Do we really want the life of Christ? Oh, we say we do, but do we? Do we want love and joy and kindness and forgiveness for everybody? Do you want love and kindness and forgiveness and reconciliation for that politician and the other party? Do you want love and joy and kindness and reconciliation for the person who commits violent acts against the innocent? Do you want love and joy and kindness and forgiveness for that coworker, that classmate, that relative who you can't believe the things that come out of their mouth? For the person of a different race or religion or sexuality as yourself? For the person that hurt you so deeply that time? or those times? Do you want love and kindness and forgiveness for them? Do you really want to love them as Christ loves them? That deeply and that sacrificially. And do we have faith enough in Christ that his is the better way? Now, I'll grant you, it's pretty easy to love the innocent, the familiar, and those who are like myself. It takes a lot of faith in Christ to love the different, let alone the guilty. In order to pursue and expand his father's discoveries and research in animal nutrition for 5 decades, Dr. Mark Morris had to believe in it. You don't do something for 5 decades unless you believe in it completely. And he had to be completely and totally on board. It takes complete faith in Jesus Christ for Christ to live in you completely. You have to want it 100%. The second reason so few of us can honestly and completely say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, is not just that we don't fully want it, but because of what we have to give up in order to have Christ living in us. Dr. Mark Morris not only had to completely believe in his father's work, he had to give up his own pursuits as well. In his case, a career in mechanical engineering. For the Apostle Paul, before he can say Christ lives in me, he first has to say, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, the old man, the old person, the broken humanity has to be given up, killed even, so that it can rise and live a new life in Jesus Christ. And that's a frightening thing for a lot of people. We like hanging on to what we like hanging on to. In our gospel today, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. To deny oneself does not mean, of course, to deny what is good in you, the image of God in you. It means to deny everything within us that is not of God. All sin, all of it, all personal agendas, all that broken, tangy stuff we like to mull over, all the ways we are judgmental, all the ways we look down on them, all the ways that we abandon God to do our own thing, all the ways we hurt even those we love. These are the things that must be crucified. These are the things that have to be put on the cross and nailed there. You can't keep the door to sin. You can't keep the door to the old self open even just a crack. Crucified means killed. The old broken way must be crucified. But let's not forget, Paul didn't just say, I have been crucified. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, which means you are not alone. You are not alone in this. The power of the cross, which we are celebrating this whole week in the church, is such that whatever of yourself you offer up to God, God multiplies beyond your wildest dreams and imaginations. When Dr. Mark Morris gave up his own career so that his father's research and discoveries could live on in him, he was not alone. He was building on his father's work. His father's work and his father's spirit were with him. Now, if that's true with an earthly father, how much more so with your father in heaven? Those willing with God's help to crucify that which is old, that which is broken, that which is sinful in themselves, and who really believe in the life of Jesus Christ, the life of love, the life of joy, the life of peace and hope and light and reconciliation. If that's you, you're not alone. You're not alone in that amazing yet difficult task, because God is with you, because the power of the cross is given to you. And therefore, by God's grace, you really can be a living vessel of the Son of God and someone in whom Christ lives completely. Amen. Amen.